Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Zoom service this Sunday morning. Welcome back to those who've been on holiday. We hope you've all had a restful and refreshing time while you've been away. I'm going to start this morning with a verse from Psalm 30. Oh, sing to him, you saints of his. Give thanks to his holy name. His anger lasts a moment. His favour lasts for life. Weeping may go on all night, but in the morning there is joy. Let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Oh, Lord our God, we gather together today to give you thanks and to praise your greatness. We praise your mighty works to the whole world. We praise you for your wonderful deeds. Your power is limitless. Your wisdom is unparalleled. Your grace is overwhelming. Your love is never failing. You promise that you will never leave or forsake us. Let us worship you in spirit and truth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening song this morning is I Sing a Song of the Saints of God.
I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and true, who toiled and fought and lived and died for the Lord they loved and knew. And one was a doctor, and one was a queen, and one was a shepherdess on the green. They were all of the saints of God. God helping to be one true. They loved their Lord so dear, and his love made them strong. And they followed the right for Jesus' sake, the whole of their good lives long. And one was a soldier, and one was a priest, and one was slain by a fierce wild beast. And there's not any reason, no, not the least, why I should be one too. They live not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joy of saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or in shops or at tea, for the saints of God are this world like me, and I need to be one too.
We've just sung about the saints of God who stored up their treasure in heaven. There are many different types of treasure. Have you ever wished that you could find treasure? You know, that chest full of gold and jewels would make your life simple if you had that treasure that you could sell and have all that money. Many people look for treasure. And we're now going to listen to a story of a man called Simon. Simon lived in Krakow, and he had a vivid dream about a great treasure buried under a bridge in the city of Prague, which was many miles away. Being a poor man, the dream of the treasure excited him. So Simon decided to go to Prague and search for the treasure. When he reached the city, he went directly to the bridge of his dreams. And a sentry there saw him probing him around and demanded what he was doing. Simon told the sentry about his dreams and his long journey. And the sentry said to him, "You foolish man, don't you know that you can't believe everything you dream?" "Listen," the sentry said, "if I believed a dream I once had, I would go right now to Krakow and I'd look for treasure under the stove in the house of a fellow named Simon." Simon went back to his house in Krakow, looked under the kitchen stove, and behold, he found a great treasure that enabled him to live comfortably for the rest of his life. What we need to remember is the treasure always it was in Krakow, but the knowledge of it was in Prague. The knowledge of life's greatest treasure is revealed to us in the gospel of Christ. Jesus said he came that we may have life and have it to the full. For the Father, who is the source of life, has made the Son the source of life. Where do we go to look for our treasure? But more importantly, where do we go to look for the knowledge of the treasure that God has for us? We should be looking, of course, in the gospel of Christ. We're now going to hear the music of a song, "The Journey of Life May Be Easy, May Be Hard." For those who can see the pictures, the words will be there, but there isn't actually any people singing with this song today. We're just going to listen and think on the words. To read our reading from Mark chapter 5.
When Jesus had gone across by boat to the other side of the lake, a vast crowd gathered around him on the shore. The leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before him, pleading with him to heal his little daughter. "She is at the point of death," he said in desperation. "Please come and place your hands on her and make her live." Jesus went with him, and the crowd thronged behind. In the crowd was a woman who was sick for 12 years with a hemorrhage. She had suffered much from many doctors through the years and had become poor from paying them and was no better, but in fact was worse. She had heard all the wonderful miracles Jesus did, and that is why she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his clothes. For she thought to herself, if I can touch his clothing, I will be healed. And sure enough, as soon as she had touched him, the bleeding stopped and she knew she was well. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone for him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, all this crowd pressing around you and you asked who touched you? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, healed of your disease. While he was still talking to her, messengers arrived from Jairus' home with the news that it was too late. His daughter was dead, and there was no point in Jesus coming now. But Jesus ignored their comments and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just trust me. Then Jesus halted the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go on with him to Jairus' home except Peter, James, and John. When they arrived, Jesus saw that all was in great confusion, with unconstrained weeping and wailing. He went inside and spoke to the people. Why all this weeping and commotion? He asked. The child isn't dead. She is only sleeping. They laughed at him in bitter derision. But he told them all to leave. And taking the little girl's father and mother and his three disciples, he went into the room where she was lying. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, get up, little girl. She was 12 years old, and she jumped up and walked around. Her parents just couldn't get over it. Jesus instructed them earnestly not to tell what had happened and told them to give her something to eat.
Thank you, Sandra. The woman in the crowd reached out and touched the Lord. And that's the song that we're going to sing now. Reach out and touch the Lord. So today's lesson started with a man named Jairus, who was deeply concerned about his daughter's uncertain future. Jairus was a synagogue ruler. As such, he might well have been in opposition to the teachings of Jesus. Nevertheless, something moved him to approach Jesus, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." Jesus went with Jairus, and the crowd was thronging around him. But then we hear that Jesus was delayed because there was a woman in the crowd who had been ill for 12 years. She'd spent all her money on doctors, but none could cure her. Many of the remedies that doctors used in biblical times, we would regard as sheer quackery. One of the treatments that they gave women in the condition which this woman had required her to carry the ashes of an ostrich egg in a linen bag during the summer months and in a cotton bag during the winter months. She paid lots of money for being told remedies such as that. But whatever she tried, she'd found no relief. Added to her suffering was that she was considered unclean. So she was not supposed to go to the synagogue. She was not supposed to go around other people, because anyone who touched her bed or chair was also deemed unclean. She had to carry out a strict ritual of bathing and washing clothes to be considered clean again. So she was an outsider, an untouchable, a nobody. But Mark tells us that she had heard the reports about Jesus, a miracle worker who did not charge for his cures. And she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, saying, "If I touch even his garments, I shall be made well." And when she touched, her hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. But Jesus realized at once that the healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples thought he was mad. They said to him, "All these people pressing around you, everybody's touching your clothes." And, you know, but he said, "Somebody touched me," because he felt that power go from him. And he kept on looking around to see who it was who had done it. Then the woman, frightened, trembling at what she had done, came and fell at his feet and told him it was her. Jesus smiled at her and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." But Jesus had been delayed from his journey to Jairus' house. And word came that Jairus' daughter had died, and it was useless to ask Jesus for help now. It was too late. Do we think sometimes that it's too late? Too late to turn to Jesus? Jesus said to Jairus, the father, "Do not fear, only believe. And he then went on with Jairus and his three disciples to the house. And when he got there, the professional mourners were already wailing and playing a mournful dirge on their flutes. One of the customs of that time when somebody died was that a crowd would gather and mourn. And the friends had gathered to console the grieving members of the girl's family. But Jesus announced that the girl was not dead, was only sleeping. And they all laughed. But he went into the house. He took the girl's hand and said, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and walked. And all were immediately overcome with amazement. They celebrated. As we reflect on the stories in today's lesson, we can see much of ourselves. We need to reach out to touch Jesus. Others we know need Jesus's love. And we can identify with the loneliness and the pain of the woman who desperately needed help. And Jairus, the father, desperate for help for his daughter. Desperate, panicking, because he feared his daughter was going to die. But Jesus's response was, "Your faith has restored you to health. Go in peace. Be free from your complaint," Jesus said to the woman who needed healing. "Do not be afraid, only have faith. Trust in me," Jesus said to Jairus. And now, to each one of us, he says, "Do not be afraid. Only have faith. Trust in me. Go in peace. Take the journey to discover the treasure of abundant life in Christ. Go in peace. Know that God loves you." Now, going to sing together the song, "Search My Heart, Search My Soul."
Search my heart, search my soul. Take my shame, take it deep within. Search my heart, search my soul. Take my sin, lead me back to you.
as we come to God in prayer, we think of those songs that we've sung, that one then about searching, asking Jesus to search our hearts. The song of reaching out to Jesus as he passes by. So let us pray now. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and reach out to you now. We thank you for the privilege of praying for others. Over the years, many people have prayed for us. And we understand how powerful prayer can be. As we come praying for others, we ask first that you cleanse our hearts and show us if there is any unconfessed sin in our own lives, so that our prayers for others will not be hindered. We thank you that through your name we can come boldly before you and pray with confidence, according to your will, knowing that you hear us, knowing that as we reach out to you now, you cleanse us and heal us. We lift up those in our neighbourhood, in our town, in our churches. Begin with those who follow you, we pray, Lord, and help them influence others for good. Let them be salt and light, pointing others to you. Deepen their love for you and for the people around them. Guard them from hypocrisy, often giving in to temptations that can harm the cause of Christ. Raise up leaders who will serve you faithfully at all costs. Turn the hearts of fathers towards their children and families towards you. Help them to exemplify your values and make them bold in their faith. Strengthen our own families and those closest to us. Lord, we pray that our love for you will help us to love and forgive others and make a difference in our world. We pray for teachers, for students, and for all those in authority and leadership, both locally and throughout the world. Give them your mind and surround them with your godly counsellors who will exercise integrity and work for justice, morality, and freedom. Help them to esteem you, not dismiss you. Send revival, Lord, we pray. We pray also for the lost, the hurting, the lonely, the sick, the bereaved. Those who are imprisoned both behind visible and invisible walls. Send your comfort, your peace and your calming presence to those who are without hope. Protect the defenseless and hold them close to your heart. We pray, O Lord, for labourers to tell the good news of Jesus to people around our world. Jesus, our hearts cry out for persecuted believers too. Make them brave and give them your powerful protection. We pray you will bring swift justice to those who want to destroy the innocent and those who carry your name. Bind the power of Satan and strengthen believers everywhere. We pray for those of our number who are on holiday this week. And are going on holiday in the next few days. We pray that you will be with them as they travel. You will be with them as they relax. And we pray that you will return them safely to us in due course, refreshed and reinvigorated with the power of your Spirit. We pray now, in a moment of silence, for those on our hearts and minds. Lord, we lift their names to you now. Lord, you know their needs. We ask that you enfold them in your love. But we pray also now for ourselves, Lord. Father God, open our eyes, not to see the world more clearly, but to see you. Open our eyes to see you working around us and in us. Nothing happens by accident, Lord. You orchestrate every day of our lives. Allow us to see your hand in the mundane and the fantastic, helping us to trust in what we cannot see and believe in your invisible presence. Inspire us, Lord, with your vision of the future of our fellowships. Guide us. Give us wisdom. Give us courage to do your will. So many needs, Lord Jesus, but you are adequate for every need. Your name is powerful and your power is great. So it's in your name that we pray and believe. Empower us, Lord, as we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We close our service now with the hymn, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory.
Thank you.
pray now that the Lord will be with us in this coming week, that he will guide us, that he will give us the strength, that we will be able to reach out to him when we need. Now, as we unmute ourselves, we will say the grace together. May the grace
of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all evermore.
Amen. Wycliffe, it's your birthday this week, isn't it?
It's my today, and Wycliffe is on the 10th of July.
Okay. Well, wait. Let us sing.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Okay, few notices today. Prayer on Wednesday and Friday at 11 as usual. Next Saturday morning, the church will be open for private prayer between 10:30 and 12.
I can be there, Adrian. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm
I can
there.
Be there. I'll be there.
Sunday morning, there's a Zoom service at 11 being led by Martin. But the Methodist service will also be at the pastures next Sunday morning, because it's the first Sunday in the month. Lois, who should people let know if they want to attend?
That'll be Catherine Jones.
Okay. So if you want to be at the service for the pastures next week, please let Catherine know. Okay, that's the notices I've got. Are there anything else, anybody else has to bring this morning? Can't see anybody waving at me. So, in that case, thank you everybody for coming to be with us this morning. I hope you enjoyed the service. And may God be with you, whatever you're doing for the rest of the day and during the week. Thank you.
You
bye.
Too.
Yeah. Thank you, Adrian.
Bye.
Thanks for the
bye.
Service. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
It's good, isn't it?
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Sandra. Have a good holiday.
No, thank you.
Happy holiday. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Daniel.
It is. Good kitties, Valerie, making that noise.